Tibor McCann escaped from his native Hungary at the age of 14. He worked for Radio Free Europe in Munich. He served in the United States Air Force, earned academic degrees from Claremont Men's College, New York University, and the University of California at Santa Barbara. He is associate professor of philosophy at the State University of New York in Fredonia, but he's on leave to work at the Reason Foundation. His books include works on B.F. Skinner and a textbook of philosophy. His essays and articles have appeared in a host of conservative, libertarian, and scholarly journals. Now I come to the point at which it is productive to have this in advance, because he promised to present us a discourse based on the concepts of eudaimonistic individualism, and I learned how to pronounce it. Tibor McCann.
Thank you very much, Dr. Howard. This panel is called Social Issues, Conservatism, Libertarianism, and I want to start with a brief question. What are social issues? The distinction between state, society, and the individual applies here, I think. State, as Albert J. Nock and others would have observed, pertains to the voluntarily created or accepted or even tolerated relationships amongst individuals. That is, society pertains to the voluntarily created or accepted or even tolerated relationships amongst individuals. It is the problems generated by this sphere that may best be referred to as social problems, falling under the topic of social issues in human community investigations. Now, the libertarian political theory implies that a government, or whatever assumes characteristically legal responsibilities in any human community, functions properly when it upholds justice in human relations by the standard of natural human rights in the Lockean tradition, but not necessarily dependent upon Locke's particular arguments. It thus fulfills an ancient and modern role of the state or government, more accurately put, namely the encouragement of virtue and the promotion of peace and prosperity. Now, since ought implies can, meaning virtue is impossible if liberty is absent, the government cannot have as its, cannot, not that it doesn't or shouldn't, but cannot have as its bona fide responsibility to make citizens good in their private and social existence. Government may only enforce the necessary conditions of virtue and prosperity, not attempt to institute the sufficient conditions as well. This is for two reasons. Governments could not succeed anyway. First, the very idea is contradictory to the moral and creative nature of man. And second, no government or other person is morally entitled to assume without consent the position of guardianship for another adult, except in quite extraordinary circumstances where the onus of proof lies with those doing this assuming. In social relations, sometimes we come close to coercion, and this is where I think sometimes conservatives are using the term coercion, where perhaps, maybe I'm being presumptuous here, but perhaps they would agree with me if I substitute the term ostracism or a rebuke or other form of social response that are not coercive, strictly speaking. As children, we are legitimately subject to some coercion, and as adults, we can be subject to severe rebuke, ostracism, boycott, and other sorts of social pressure. So outside the government's peacekeeping and retaliatory provisions, there is ample room for the libertarian to introduce non-political considerations so as to cope with the problems and challenges of social life. Let me stress this. Libertarianism is a political theory, an answer to the question, in accordance with what basic principles should a human community be organized? That question may not always be decisive in what kind of community we will live in, but it must always be asked by some, and the libertarian selects himself as one of those parties asking this question and trying to answer it. In more familiar terms, this question amounts to a request for the content of a basic legal code or constitution or other form of organized social system. Contrary to what numerous conservatives and incidentally Marxists have argued, from Marcuse to Frum on the latter side and Burke to Irving Kristol on the former, but I learn also William Kristol, the principles of freedom do not preclude a broader ethical framework suited to human existence. I think that such broader ethical principles are there to be identified, even if many supporters of the free society have thus far shied away from identifying them. There is such a thing as a division of labor, even in intellectual endeavors. Of course, they have shied away from this because they have feared, in line with the tradition of modern moral philosophy, that specifying what is good permits governments or others who have the power and know it to force each of us to do it, whether it be the satisfaction of the will of God, or the provision of some secular hypothetical social contract, or the utilitarian advancement of the greatest pleasure of the greatest number. In each case, such value theories have allowed for coercing people to achieve the value in question, regardless of the moral element that is missing. The view that values are intrinsic and that their achievement, as it were, out there, is obligatory, not a matter of choice, and thus incapable of being coerced, has assisted the gradual perversion of moral philosophy in our time. The reaction to this perversion has been to give up morality in favor of individual liberty and relativism. It may be a wrong remedy for a wrong doctrine, but it is somewhat understandable. The main reason conservatives denounce libertarians, or at least criticize them, is that they have focused on the political results of the basic outlook that has as its political theory the view that liberty should be protected and preserved. But there is much more to this outlook. Libertarianism is but a small, politically relevant portion of it. The broader framework underlying libertarianism is in the tradition of Aristotelian philosophy. I am claiming that this is the best broader framework, not the only one offered. But I assume we are concerned with a strong defense, not with giveaways. The main Aristotelian ingredient is metaphysical pluralism, meaning reality does not have to be one kind of thing, but has the potential for manifesting itself in numerous ways. And there is also a monism here. This is a little technical, but you know you guys are pushing me in this direction. But there is a monism here too, in this outlook, namely that certain basic principles govern the whole of reality as well as all distinctive realms of it. When we look at things in this way, we can make sense of the emergence of value considerations, ethics, politics, aesthetics, without having to introduce something extremely perplexing and untenable, namely supernaturalism. We have discovered that when life emerges in reality, values emerge too, since the living have a lot to lose by dying. And in the case of human life, value considerations take on a moral component. This component obtains because individual human beings are responsible to identify the values that will sustain and improve their lives. That is because of the phenomena of free will. Since we take the responsibility, like it or not, for living right or wrong, we must eschew any substitute for this responsibility, lest we shed our very humanity in the process, thus political liberty. So we have a naturalist place for objective morality, something that is supposed to be lacking in the libertarian framework. It is not lacking. It has simply had to wait to be identified, since most people wanted either supernaturalism or some pseudo-scientific analysis when it came to understanding human affairs. Instead, we have available the view that as freely choosing beings that can do well or badly in life, once we have chosen to live, we should live well. And living well must amount to living in accordance with human nature. By being rational, honest, just, productive, generous, considerate, and so forth, we do not as such owe this to anyone. This is an interesting difference between some conservatives and libertarians. We do not as such owe this to anyone, but we are required by our own choice to live a human life, to abide by these principles, to practice these virtues. In the context of social life, numerous implications flow from the requirement that we practice the virtues mentioned. Libertarianism is the political implication of living a human life, but other implications flow as well from this conception of human nature. Libertinism, contrary to widespread and unscholarly caricatures of libertarianism, is not such an implication. True, there is nothing political that is permissible in response to someone who lives his life badly, whether by being a libertine or by being a follower of false prophets or by being slothful or by being dogmatic. There is an optimism, yes, that underlies libertarianism, namely that in freedom there is greater likelihood that human beings will find living well, virtuously, more rewarding because the abnegation of economic, spiritual, and other responsibilities cannot, in such a society, be passed on to others who don't want it. Neither wealth, material, spiritual, literary, or whatnot, nor poverty may be forcibly redistributed in a libertarian human community. The liberty thus secured does not guarantee the decency of such a community. Nothing can do that, contrary to the dreams left and right. There is always the risk with human beings that they won't do their best, that some will do their worst. But in libertarianism, at least, these prospects do not necessarily threaten everyone, even when some have fallen down on their task. I suppose when conservatives tell us that they think man is evil, or at least tilted in that direction, and when liberals tell us that they think man is good, the libertarian would have to say that they think man can be either one or the other, and it depends on him or her. Yes, man is not infallible, and if original sin meant only this, there might be something to original sin. But conservatives who have invoked original sin have meant much more. They meant that on this earth, none of us can succeed morally, for which we need supernatural intervention, namely the grace of God. Yes, man is perfectible, and if liberals had meant only this, there might be something to it. But liberals have meant by this that man can be forcibly made to be perfect, for which we need government intervention and violent revolution and terrorism. The libertarian is concerned with making it possible for each human being to aspire to goodness on his own and in his own circumstance, admitting that the aspiration may be neglected. No utopianism here. The social life of man in a libertarian political community would not preclude, indeed would be wedded to, cooperation, congregation, generosity, compassion, counsel, education, civility, and all the other social virtues of civilized persons. But instead of making these tasks for the government, and thus rendering these hopeless dreams, fraudulent promises, and unattainable demands, the libertarian political system assumes that these are the responsibility of citizens to accomplish for themselves in voluntary cooperation. Libertarianism is but a minor portion of a view of human existence. To pretend that it is everything libertarians have to offer as far as human life and social existence are concerned is to fail to understand it. It may score points to misunderstand the position, but it does not come to grips with the position. Let me close by recalling that many of those who have spoken ill of libertarianism in various publications are admirers of the late Professor Leo Strauss. Now, I don't maintain that Professor Strauss is a libertarian, but I do like some of the phrases that he has given expression to in some of his writings. And I think the 3 points which I'm going to quote from him are fairly, though I'm not fully confident, fairly to be regarded as expressions of his own views. There's always problems with that with Leo Strauss. First, he identified the good life as simply the life in which, and I'm quoting here, the life in which the requirements of man's natural inclinations are fulfilled in the proper order to the highest possible degree, the life of a man who is awake to the highest possible degree, the life of a man in whose soul nothing lies waste. Second, he appears to have believed that, quote, political freedom, and especially that political freedom that justifies itself by the pursuit of human excellence, requires the highest degree of vigilance. Thirdly, Strauss observed that, quote, there is no adequate solution to the problem of virtue or happiness on the political or social plane, unquote. If we put these three ideas together, we will arrive at the libertarianism I have been speaking of here. This libertarianism is, plainly put, simply that the task of politics is liberty, nothing more or less, and the task of man is virtue and the achievement of the happiness that is appropriate to the nature of a being such as he is. Thank you.